Hello, welcome to... Oh, Will's gone. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. There'll be a show. Let's get started because Will will be dialing back in. He's in Amsterdam Airport in Schiphol, and he is going to join us for the first time in ages, but he has a dodgy connection and only 20% left on his MacBook battery, so he might not be here that long. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, I have a fantastic bunch. The assembled throng, starting off with Patrice. How the devil are you, buddy?
Pretty good, actually.
You're looking rather smart.
A little bit stressful today, but I'm here.
You're looking rather smart, mate, I have to say.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Will's back in the fold. Well done, Will. If you get any airport announcements, if you're watching in Schiphol Airport, at least you're going to get a duplication of your flight information from Will, although there will be a slight delay. Next to him, it's Adam. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. I've had a shit week, but I've had a YTS this week in the studio, and he creased the backdrops when he did something I told him not to do on Monday. So his punishment was to iron the backdrops on Tuesday, and in ironing the backdrops, he melted my carpet in the front of the studio, which isn't mine. So it's cost me 170 quid to get it replaced today with the same one that was there. So no one knows, apart from everyone who listens to the podcast. And I went to shoot a video in Walsall, and my car got locked in a compound overnight, so I had to get a hire car to come home. And the rest of the week's been fine, though.
Oh, great.
Thanks for asking.
well, I'm looking at, Patrice says he has to go run off. I think, I'm just guessing, he might have a Pop Idol audition or something.
Oh, like right. Okay.
That's what's going on.
Next, Adam, it is the man himself, the bloke that we have missed. He's drinking beer, you lucky git. Well done, mate. It's Will Green.
Hello, chap.
Where have you bloody been, boy?
It's all busy at the moment, so I'm flying between Amsterdam and I'm working in London and doing all sorts of good stuff in Ireland. So it's non-stop, which is great for money, but that's pretty much where I've been. Have you apologized to the listeners about the background?
Yes, I have mentioned it. So you've gone from a bloke who was sat in front of a fire in a cardigan the last time you were on to James friggin' Bond.
I know.
I was thinking he looked more like Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, okay. Bilbo Baggins, international jet setter.
Watson. No, we can go with Watson.
You have to step it up sometimes.
Don't say anything that might make them clear the airport. There's a good chap. I don't want to be affiliated with that. next to him, welcome early morning Doc Rock. How you doing, Ben?
How's it? Oh, Ewan, it's super funny that you had a bad week because I had a most horrendous week. And it's kind of weird when somebody who you're close to kind of run through similar type problems. I had a motor on a rotary attachment from a laser go, and I call tech support. Guy sends me out a motor. It's the wrong one. Then sends me out another motor. It's the broken one. I finally get the third motor. It works, except for it's not the motor. The original triage guy never triaged the circuit board. They ended up having to send me an entire new rotary.
Oh, God.
But they sent the wrong one. Yeah. So nice. Finally, yesterday, after like six RMAs, I got the actual part that I needed. And I finally got up. But literally, I've been down from work for like a week, driving myself insane, going, I'm losing thousands of dollars. So I was really PO'd. But
I saw your Vimeo video, etched. Hawaii etched. Yeah, very good, mate. Enjoyed that.
Thank you. It was a really fun project. Got to work on with a couple of local kids who are, up and coming video makers. We have a group called Hawaii Shoots, and we get together and, practice our trade and teach the young kids the new stuff, and then the new kids teach us, the old guys, the new stuff, and it's a really great little mashup. We get together all the time, and that was just a project, a workshop on lighting, and so that's why it has the J.J. Abrams kind of swag to it. We were trying to teach them how to do that, but still make it look classy in a commercial format. Something you can make money on and not homemade backyard Star Wars videos.
Ellis wants a wood-edged TIE fighter, though, please, mate. So if you can sort me a price out.
Oh, is this the shipping?
Yeah, no, I know. But it might get here by Christmas if you put it on Overland.
Overland Express. I didn't even know that was a real thing. I just thought it was something you hear about in movies.
Overland Express. Well, I think Overland is kind of like the snail foot service. There is no express to it. They don't drive any faster, nice. That's for sure.
I found your next business.
Whose?
Cox.
Oh, right.
I went to San Diego Maker Faire this week, and there's a group, and it's open source. They do laser-cut cardboard surfboards.
Shut the front door.
I'm going to give you the link. Check these things out. Right. So you cut the cardboard, and you put it together into this sort of honeycomb thing, and it basically replaces the foam in the surfboard.
Yeah,
and you still,
the honeycomb
you
is called a torsion neck. Like,
still glass it like normal, but...
I was just talking about doing something like this, and I didn't know how, and now I see it. It's crazy.
Cool.
Perfect for Hawaii.
And last but by no means least, the man who's made the pilgrimage all the way from vice chairmanship of the London Mac User Group to the BTN Towers, it's Martin Kelly. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm fine. Very nice to be here for the first time.
Yeah.
Day and talking to all the guys.
Excellent. Join in with some opinion as we go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. If you want to come and watch the shows, any of them, big show in Thursday nights at 8 o'clock or Mac show on a Friday, all you got to do is send me an email and come down and that's it. There's no tickets or anything like that. Just walk in, grab a beer, sit down. Off we go. Martin's had a coffee though because he's got to drive back. The week in Apple, what's going on, what's been happening? It's been the anniversary of the death of Steve Jobs this week, which is quite poignant. And whilst I am sorry to see that he is gone, I am utterly fed up of the wall wailing that went on this week around the whole thing.
Who was wall wailing?
Some of the articles that I saw and the fact that they're capitalising on the bloke's death for this frigging movie about him, which I don't want another movie about him. I watched Pirates of Silicon Valley. I thought, that'll do. The other ones, after I watched them, I thought, well, yeah, but I didn't need to watch that because I watched Pirates of Silicon Valley. That'll do. I'm done with it, you know? Poor bloke's gone. All right, fair enough. Move on.
So this is this going to upset you?
Oh, go on. What are you doing?
That's my ticket. I'm going on Saturday to see the movie.
Oh, okay. No, it's not going to upset me because I'm not going. You are.
I'm looking forward to it. It looks like it's going to be great.
Am I the only one? I'm just done with this. Like I said, the outpouring of grief over the death of Steve Jobs. He was a bloke who thought he could cure cancer with a diet for a start.
I can save you some headache.
Go on.
Aaron Sorkin did not set out to do a biopic, so it's totally not about a biopic. It's totally basically three scenes during pre-run-up to three different keynotes, and it's a little bit less about Steve Jobs than it is about Aaron Sorkin being Aaron Sorkin and witty and giving us a different look on something that everybody thinks it is. And because he spent so much time with Woz, during the middle, realizing what a D-bag Steve was to Woz, it's kind of a Steve bashing film almost, but... to let you see the bigger hero and Woz. And yeah, it's a different setup. He says, if you think it's a biopic, forget it. You're never going to love it, so don't bother watching it because it's totally not that. So the only reason why I want to see it is because Aaron Sorkin. It's Aaron Sorkin. Like West Wing, Newsroom. You know Aaron Sorkin? Like, he's the man.
Aaron Sorkin is the man, absolutely.
No. So yeah, it's worth it just for that. Just get a couple beers in you and go watch it and enjoy the snarky Aaron Sorkin-ness. And never mind the Steve Jobs part.
I've got to say, I've fallen out of love with Aaron Sorkin because I loved the Newsroom and season one was awesome. Season two was fantastic. Season three was, they got halfway through and they're like, oh, well, we're going to close now. So how can we finish it? I'll tell you what, let's all stand in the garage and sing a song. And that was it. And it was like, oh, bollocks, that's crap.
Shitty.
I mean, Aaron Sorkin's might be great, but he can't write an ending, that's for certain. Yes. What's your view, Martin? Have you just about had enough of the Jobs pouring of grief? Then,
well, it's strange. One of the firms I work for.
I've got to say, I don't hold that view.
No, it's a bit of a change. But isn't there also a documentary out as well? A documentary type film.
Yeah, there's two things coming out.
Man and Machine.
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, and that's meant to be more revealing.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I've heard things about it.
I've watched it. It's more negative. I mean, it focuses more on the negative sides of Steve, and it's a lot of the stories that we all know. You know, so of course they touch on the Lisa thing. Of course they touch on the stock option handle. Some of the other things. and just, you know, his treatment of certain people within the organization. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that was anything new and revealing, and it makes some big leaps that are, you know, fully not accurate.
I think the other thing is that,
like all documentaries, though, I mean, documentaries have an agenda. They have a certain point that they want to make, and they're going to only focus on the things that are going to make the point that they want to make.
I mean, clever leaders anyway surf the wave of the people, the great people that they've gathered underneath them and delegated to. And I think that's where he really was truly brilliant, is that he's got a set of people underneath him that, well, now he's gone, will carry on because they are a fantastic bunch of people to start with. That's the key,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. The only problem with these things from my perspective is, you know, every single one of them, you've only got an hour and a half, a 2 hour image of somebody, and a lot of it based on different people's perspectives, depending upon who you got to consult on the film, who you got involved. And so what's good, I think, about the Sorkin movie, the Sorkin Danny Boyle movie, is, and I think Boyle's been out saying, you know, it's an impressionistic painting. It's, you know, it's based on facts, but we're telling a story. You know, this is pure entertainment. So, you know, that thing like Doc was saying about it not being a biopic, I think, is important, because I think the problem with the other films is they are trying to say we're biopics, but can't tell much of a story or get much of an image of a person in an hour and a half based on, you know, anecdotes you hear from various people. So I guess from my perspective, what I like to do is consume as much content as I can to better understand the man. So, you know, I've read all the books, you know, and there's tons of them out there. So I don't get sick of it because everything that I see adds to that sort of knowledge.
Exactly. That's my approach too. I mean, some movies are better than others, but I mean, almost all of them have some grain of truth somewhere in there, because I mean, Steve Jobs as a man is not one thing. He's a multitude of things, and different people, as we have seen, have different perspective on what he is and what he was, and I think we only get that. And then, I mean, the story is interesting, and the entertainment part of his life is interesting, so it's always interesting to see the story being played out.
Martin, just
or different parts of the story.
Sorry, Patrice. Martin, just give us a sound. Just hang on a second, Will. Give us a sound check.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Is everyone, does the chat room hear that? They're saying that they... Yeah, you've got him. Sorry. Yeah. Go on, Will. Yes, of course you can.
Yeah, it's only... there's a couple of points there. I agree with you. Pirates of the Caribbean. It was an unusual pirate.
I thought
he
was good in that.
Pirates of the Caribbean?
I didn't like the second film. It was rather depressing. I haven't seen the third one. But the reason I wanted to jump in is I've only got 13% of battery. And I wanted to share this piece of information with you. In my hotel room over the last sort of week, I have had a private sauna all to myself.
Oh, dude.
Nice.
How about that? I've never been in a hotel room that gives you a private sauna. I had a bar and a private sauna. I had a jacuzzi bath and a shower. Well, the shower's not so impressive. But how about that? A private plumbing sauna.
No wonder you're looking so dapper.
That's it, really.
That's awesome, mate. That's truly awesome.
It really is, isn't it?
Thank you. Yes.
It was in Amsterdam, so maybe there's a reason for it.
But was there anything under the bubbles in the sauna? In the pool? Have you got a spa pool as well? Or? Oh, I'm so hot in this towel, Mr. Green.
Yeah, I've got them all back. A whole party of them.
Yeah, no, Docs did already call you the international man of misery.
Well, that's nice.
Will's world.
So are you saying that you're going to leave us now, Will?
Sorry.
Are you telling us that you're going to leave us now?
No, I'm just telling you that I've got...
you might be leaving us soon. Okay.
It's worth a back.
All right.
Yeah, it won't be a huge amount. So if you only need any pearls of wisdom, I'd forget about this load of old rabble you've got here and talk to me.
We will come to you directly, Will, of course. Thank you, mate. apparently, Martin's microphone's still not doing very good things. No, it's not.
I don't know. I've not had any trouble hearing it.
I've got a microphone here. But
Yeah, we are hearing him.
So. Yeah, no, you can hear it on this, definitely, because I can hear it, but I can't understand why it's not coming out on the chat room, that's the only thing. It's also playing in Logic, and if it's playing in Logic, then it should be playing in... No idea. You might have to just come round here, mate. And,
sure.
Yeah. It was a nice try, eh?
Yeah, it is. The chat is... It's on the chat. It's a little staticky and low.
Yeah, we're getting around here. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Right, back to news. iPad coming at the start of November, allegedly. And also Apple TV will be here soon. One of the things that I picked up on, because it's something that I do like the peripherals when I've had a play with them in the past, but then there's always something that lets them down. OS 10.11.1 beta has shown signs of a new Magic Keyboard, a Magic Mouse 2, and a Magic Trackpad 2 reference.
What's a Magic Keyboard?
Magic Keyboard, it says. I don't know. I'm reading the story, dude.
You know what it is? It could be the new, like an external version of the keyboard that's in the new notebooks, the little softer, squishy, lovey one.
So the new butterfly
keys
that Apple developed? Is that the deal?
Yeah. Probably something of that nature. You know, it's funny because I've started to worry about all the stuff they see in the developers thing, because that's how we got on this whole idea of a new Apple TV, like TV, like eons ago, because of stuff that they see. But you know how much stuff never comes out of the skunk works. And then people love to talk about what's in the kicks or whatever. And then I just recently this weekend, it started because it can, and then I went to go read it later. I was either Business Insider or Cult of Mac going on about how Apple screwed up because they didn't put out X product that Apple never said they were going to put out X product, but everybody reported it was coming, and now that it's not there, everyone's saying, well, they're failing because X product didn't come out. So I don't even bother reading it. When they say it's there, I'll go buy one.
Yeah, I mean, for the trackpad and so on, I mean, there have been FCC filings, so it's relatively certain. I mean, still, something could happen between Apple filing that stuff and then...
I mean, the thing that I like about I do like the Magic Mouse and the way it feels, and I love the gestures on it and that kind of stuff, but the thing I've always really struggled with is it's just too small for my hands, and after a while of me kind of crimping to hold it, I end up my hands go into a spasm, and I end up with pains in my wrist eventually, and it's kind of like, no, sorry, I'm going to go back to my big trust thing that my whole hand fits in, and it's, you know, it's beautiful. I don't like the trackpad. I get the same problem with the trackpad. I would love the trackpad.
I love the trackpad.
Well, here's what I want them to do with the trackpad. I want them to let the trackpad lie flat and have the power supply over the top of it, so that it sits flat on the desk, because I cannot stand the fact that the wrist is angled back. I would buy a trackpad if it was recessed into my desk, most definitely.
Yeah. I mean, if the information that's leaked or the filings are correct, it's at least a little bit thinner than the current one because of charging and I don't know, other reasons.
Yeah.
No, we'll see.
If they brought out a Magic Mouse 2 that was just a little bit bigger, sold. Sold. And if they brought out a trackpad that laid flat, sold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seriously considering getting someone to come and route out my desk in here, and so I can just put a trackpad in it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I just bought a new router. I could be there in 21 hours.
Dude, you come. I'll provide all the beer and all the bedding. There you go. We'll have a great weekend. Well, what's left of it. Next week, I can do a couple of days next week, no worries.
How's your Tuesday looking?
Failing that, let's just shoot the shit out on Skype. I just thought it was interesting. The keyboard thing I don't understand, and the trackpad references I kind of do, but it's the power thing. It's got to get smaller, it's got to get lower. And
Well, and I'm sure, hopefully they'll do induction charging and... Sorry, am I cutting off Will?
Will's saying the Apple keyboard's rubbish, aren't you, Will?
Yes, I am.
There you go.
I hate it.
I quite like the way it feels.
I like it.
But there's so little travel in the keys, and I miss it being able to connect USB, because then you have to keep recharging or replacing the batteries, and then your computer doesn't recognize a fucking keyboard, and the same with the mouse. I think this wireless stuff is rubbish.
Actually, there's something to that about the computer not recognizing it then, because there is an issue. I don't know whether it's with a line of MacBooks or with OS X right now. The Bluetooth will just stop working, and it's happening on my work MacBook every single day right now when it wakes up from sleep. It just says Bluetooth not available. And the solution is you have to shut down the machine, let it unplug everything, let it sit for 2 or 3 minutes, and then it works again. So, and again, yeah, then you can't use any keyboard.
I have very few issues with my Magic Mouse and my Apple keyboard and Bluetooth. They seem to connect 99.9% of the time. Every once in a while, I'll have a weird thing, but it's usually batteries dying.
Mm-hmm. No, it's with this machine, my personal machine, it's working. It's just happening with the, and it's the same model, everything.
I can't get over that you guys are still using the Apple keyboard, because the Logitech K760 feels exactly the same as the Apple keyboard, and you can power 3 devices off it via Bluetooth. And I've bought this, and it's sat in a dark room before now for a couple of weeks on end, and I still haven't needed to buy batteries, because it doesn't take batteries either. But it charges off just ambient light that comes through.
Yep.
And it's
I've had mine for about 4 years. Mine only finally died, but I think it had something to do with it got a small little crack in the top, and I think the solar stopped working, so I'm looking to buy another one. But I was kind of waiting for them to come out with a different version. But I've been raving about that thing forever. I love that keyboard.
I got two of these. We'll come over and get the other one.
I have the AnyLoops, and I use them in the keyboard. The keyboard lasts for months, and the mouse maybe goes a month or two as well. So it's really not that inconvenient.
Yeah, I don't know why you're losing battery, Will, because my batteries on my stuff last kind of a long time. Although my major Mac Mini, the one I do the majority of my work, I use a DOS keyboard. I just got it because I like the name, and it was one of these Cherry MX Switches keyboards. The thing is amazing, but it was one of the nicest one ever made for the Mac. It's kind of like the Matthias, but not as expensive. But I love it because I love the clicky sound, and I used to drive Jerome crazy when we used to do our podcast, and I'd be typing with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. But as a podcaster, you can't have that kind of keyboard.
Huh?
As a podcaster, you can't have that kind of keyboard because you can't use it.
Yeah,
because
you know who drives this? When Kelly does it, it drives everybody batty too. But it just feels really, really, really good. Like if you're an old keyboard travel guy, which I'm assuming is what Will's talking about, which I am, and I'm not a touch typist by any shape or means, but I like the feel of this. The DOS keyboard Model S is the truth. If you ever want to get like a grown-up keyboard again, that feels like an old original Apple keyboard. ADB, also, there's ADB a bunch ADB of places keyboard. Online. If you can go through we call it garage sale and find an old Apple II keyboard, like one of the big original beast, there's a couple places online that will retrofit it for you and USB you up.
The chat room saying as well, dear Ewan, why don't you try the wireless trackpad that comes from Logitech as well?
So yeah, it's good,
and it's not too deep either, is it? It's
no,
it's a lot more
really
flush than the other one is. I might buy one of those and give it a go.
It's slightly bigger too. Like I think you'll like it. I had one from the Buy More, and then one of my clients wanted it, and I told him they could keep it.
All right, you've convinced me. Non-stop rechargeable. It's rechargeable though. I want a solar-powered one. That's a shame.
Oh, you know what you do, Ewan, because you're going to stick it to the desk. Take that little USB thing, run it out the back, and on the back of the desk facing that window or kind of facing those lights up there, use the small USB solar thing that's supposed to be for like iPhones. They cost like $9.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Like, yeah, no, great idea.
And then, because that thing probably doesn't use enough juice to need too much, and your lights are in your room constantly, or you can get the outside light. So, yeah, I would just get like a little $9 USB phone charger thingy and then wire that sucker up and then Velcro it to the desk so you can move it.
This show once again cost me probably nearly $100.
Shit. Can I ask?
Go on, then.
Can I ask before I run out? Have you chaps reviewed the new operating system? Because I haven't installed it or anything.
Love it.
Love it.
Everything
is
works.
It good, is it?
Well, the only problem I had, everything works just fine because I put it straight away on the Mac Pro because I'm thinking, well, I've got me MacBook Pro if it all goes horribly wrong and I can use that. And the only thing that stumbled was the pre-Sonos sound card. but they've already issued an update for it, and they had to put a, do you remember you used to take, you used to have to get a specific tool to get Norton off your machine? They've generated a specific tool to get.
I used to hate Norton.
Yeah, they've generated a specific tool to take the pre-Sonos drivers off completely, and then you just install it as normal, and it works absolutely fine. Everything has come back, and I've got to say, I think my MacBook has improved in performance. Certainly, the Wi-Fi is a lot better than it was.
Man, the boot time is so much faster right now, too. The one thing that's weird is watching the bar go across the screen, I think, can give you the impression your computer's taking longer to boot than normal. But I actually timed it, and the boot time is at least about 5 seconds faster.
I'm in love with my Mac Pro, mate. I tell you what, it's just unbelievable. And I start Final Cut Pro, the logo bounces 5 times, and then it opens.
That's it. That's just the winner.
Unbelievable.
Have you also discussed the new Logic sampler?
No, what's this? Tell us more, Will.
So if you're a Logic customer, I'm trying to think of the name of it. It'll come to me in a minute. But basically, when you update Logic, there's a brand new, the full sample base is 13 gigabytes. It's free of charge. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's something magical. But so if you are, if you're
interested,
then no, it's not the new one. Apple bought it. It used to retail at, I think it was $250, but now they've once they bought the company or bought the product, they ship it for free. What's it called? It's excellent. Terrible with names.
Not
Logic.
Useful. No.
EX24?
The EX24.
It's called Synth Alchemy?
No. It's not the EX24, man. That's as old as the hills.
Synth Alchemy.
Alchemy, that's it.
Yeah, no.
Oh, right, okay. So you can sample virtually anything, then?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a sampler, it's a wave editor, but it also comes with, like, 13 gigabytes of pre-made samples for you. It's absolutely superb if you're a magician and into that sort of stuff.
Oh, right, okay. Well, good. That's your pick then, is it, Will?
I think so,
that's
yeah.
That's your cool thing if we get cut off.
Nothing.
Yeah, no. Oh, here we go.
I can't believe you guys know about that.
Adam's put a link in the chat room. If you are listening and you're thinking, oh, where are all the links that these boys keep talking about? All you've got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, tune in to the day, and you'll see the entire chat room, chat and skips. We've got a chat bot in there that just takes everything and just publishes it automatically to the British Tech Network webpage. You can see everything that we've talked about, everything that's picked, all the conversations in the chat room. Do bear in mind that there might be some fruity language, and there might be some links from Muller that you probably don't want to click, but...
Doc's link is better. He's got the official Apple one.
Oh, here we go. apple.com/logic-pro/what's-new. That sounds like a swear word, doesn't it? Come on, then. What's hyphen new? good one, mate. I like that a lot. Barclays is planning Apple Pay support. About time, you wankers.
Holy crap. If you go on that thing, that the link that I sent from Apple, you go down, you scroll down to the section about drummers, right? And then click on this Maya, the 80s retro drummer. It sounds like Sheila E., man. It's off the hook.
Cool. It sounds like something that's 30 years old. Awesome.
Come well, it ahead. Says 80s retro drummer. Damn funny. It's kind of trippy.
Just imagine the algorithm that was written for that so that it could sound like something from 30 years back. that's what kids mean.
And 30 years from now, you guys will get Apple Pay at Barclays.
Yeah, thanks, man.
that's evil, Adam.
Rip into it. No, so I'm a Barclays customer for business, and they might not let the business debit card go on either. So
they don't do that here. They don't do that here in the U.S. Chase won't let me put my business card on there either.
Yeah, no.
They'll let me do business debit. They won't let me do the credit card.
No. There we go. When's Apple TV coming? Have we got a date yet?
No.
Yeah, November nope. Something.
Mine is coming either tomorrow or Monday.
October.
Version, is it?
Don't take it apart, Patrice, and put the pictures online.
I will not do that. Not that I could, but
The Apple TV is October, but it's probably going to be the end of October, I guess. Apple didn't give a date. It said October.
Yeah.
It's going to come out on Halloween-y.
I just hope it's not that close to when they drop the iPad Pro, because I need some space in between to get some money.
Yeah, that I feel you, brother. You know what's funny is yesterday a person asked me to help them set up their new Fire TV. And I mean the new one, not the one that has been going around prior. The new one just started shipping like a week ago. And that thing is so god-awful fast. And I'm thinking to myself, if the new Apple TV doesn't come out and doesn't feel as fast as this does in the interface, especially because it still has CoverFlow, which Ewan hates, we're going to catch so much crap in the media because the new Amazon one is lightning fast. Like, I don't know what they changed in it. It might just be the new MX4 processor in it, whatever the Android thing that they're using. But it is really quick. The remote is very responsive. When you tell her, play me some Clint Eastwood, she brings up all of the Alexa, yo, sister came to play. So, Siri, you better step your game up or your man going to get stolen.
Yeah, when you do it, she plays some Sheila E. Just to piss you off.
I'm surprised that you guys remember her.
I forgot to mention it was Siri's birthday also, Ewan, on the
Siri.
4th.
It's Siri's birthday.
Yeah, October 4th, 2011 was when Siri was activated.
Happy birthday, Siri. Sorry it's belated.
The day that Siri became self-aware. Can you hear that?
You had to do it on that day, Adam, because she just said, it's my birthday.
Yeah, you can ask her when her birthday is.
I should have done it on the day. I wonder what she would have said. She's a wise ass, that little girl.
I'm still trying really hard to get a microphone to work.
October 4th, 2011.
Is this still working? Chat room, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's the chat room that's the problem. I think that's it. I think it is working. So
we'll try it.
They said yes.
Yes, we're in. Thank God for that. Good grief. Technical prowess of this show, zero. 4K 21-inch iMac coming next week, and iPad Pro in early November. If you were sitting there going, oh God, iPad Pro and Apple TV out at the same time, I've got to buy one or the other. I've got to say, I'd buy the Apple TV over the iPad Pro at the moment.
No way.
I'm really yinging and yanging on it. I'm like, oh, iPad Pro, great, and I want the stylus, and oh, that'd be awesome. And then there's a bit of me thinking, don't be an idiot, you'd never use it.
Yeah.
I haven't pulled an iPad out in Christ knows how long.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is you have to decide what is the appropriate thing that you're actually going to use if it comes down to spending money on one versus the other, and you're probably more of an Apple TV person, I would imagine, than, someone who's going to sit around with an iPad and draw sketches.
Mm. No, tenfold, mate, definitely. But I mean, I would definitely do for that, but the iPad Pro, I'm struggling with whether I want it or not.
Really. I'm planning to try and have it completely replace my MacBook Pro, so I've already thrown down the gauntlet. I talked to, who was I talking to, where I committed to it? Oh, Brian Chaffin. I said on Apple Context Machine that I'm going to go a month and not leave the house with my MacBook Pro.
That's brave. I mean, I would agree with you if it ran an OS like the Surface does, but it doesn't run OS 10. It runs iOS 9, which I just don't think is good enough.
Well, we're going to find out. I'm going to force myself to do it. Yeah. See. And my productivity may go way down next month or in November, but...
It's not very far.
No, okay. Fair enough.
We'll see. No, before the end of the year, if you can do it. I mean, that's my hope. Audio stuff is probably going to be the biggest challenge, I think.
I was going to take a month and not do anything with my MacBook Pro and take it out of the house, but after 2 weeks, I had to give up because I wasn't making any money.
Yeah, and a lot of people have asked about development work, too. I mean, that'll be interesting, too. There are a few code editors that I've messed around with on the iPad, but typing's always been the problem. So the question is the keyboard going to be enough coupled with the sort of limited development environments they have? Mm. And that may be the killer actually for me because I can't really run, I run like Apache server and SQL database on my MacBook Pro. So that's not really doable. Yeah.
Yeah, well.
There might be a workflow where you can, well, you would need a server somewhere.
You'd have to have a server somewhere. So I'll have to move that into the cloud, and it'll be a little bit trickier. But I think it's doable.
It's doable. It's definitely doable. Martin, depending on the, depending on the work you're doing.
Martin, any of these got your salivations?
Yes, I was very much thinking about getting the iPad for work, but there's one program I use, which is called ArchiCAD. It's a 3D technical drawing problem, and it won't run on the pad. So that kind of rules it out. So I have to still lug my MacBook Pro around with me. But other than that one and Final Cut Pro, near enough, or I could do all my work on an iPad Pro. So it's, another one to go into the bag, I'm afraid. Got the Pro on the desk and the MacBook in the trolley bag, and it looks like a Pro as well.
Man, ArchiCAD is still around.
I just noticed your shirt. Nice. I like that one.
Oh, was this the London Mac User? That's the London Mac User Group logo.
Yep, we're all
that is nice.
We finally got fed up with poor Steve Neighbor having a holy, he had an old chairman one with a big hole in it. So we thought, time to actually invest in a few new shirts. So we, that way. So we all had them all done up. Look, so people know when we're at the show who to give out to. So we all look very smart and all highly intelligent now at our meetings every second Monday.
I was just about to say, if you'd like to join the Mac User Group down in London, it's every second Monday, isn't
it? It is down at Tiger. Well, we've moved out of Tiger temporarily to the Sun pub in Covent Garden while they're doing refurbishments at Tiger. We're deciding whether to go back there or not. But we'll be there till we'll be in the Sun till Christmas time. So if you want to come down for our Christmas,
Tiger are lovely. You've got to go back to Tiger.
Yeah, it's sort of it does a bit
Tiger
of
Tiger like
well.
In OS 10.4.
There you go. You hadn't thought of that.
Tiger as in footy ER. Yeah, it's not quite the same.
Yeah.
No. I have a question for you about the user group because I'm on the board of a user group here.
Hang on a second, Doc. Will's got to go, I guess.
I'm down to 1%.
Willie's redlining.
So I thought I'd just say cheerio, and it's lovely to be back, and that's it.
We'll see you next week, maybe.
Hey, grab a brownie before you leave Amsterdam.
See you, buddy. Have a good flight.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Don't kill anyone. there we go. Greeny boy's gone. Nice to have him back, eh? Go on, Doc. You were saying, mate.
No, so I want to know about the London Mac Users Group, because I'm on the board of the Users Group here, and at 50 and Jerome at 30, we are the two youngest people in the group. And I'm actually only 48, but you know, you get the point.
I think our group is on average slightly older than that. We've got a more mature bunch of guys, but we do get the occasional developers in. But it has tailed off in the last few years with the advent of the Genius
I've been wanting to figure that out. Like, why have the users group all gone to just old cats? Like, when we were first in it, like, I've been in our users group for almost 30 years. So I started when I was young. But, like, the young cats just aren't in the users group. But there's so much to be learned and had. These guys are so YouTube-y, they don't need us anymore.
That's it. The internet came to be. I'll tell you what's helped with our group is we spun off and created a special interest group for iOS developers. And that group is massive. I mean, it's growing massively. And some of those guys sort of leak over into the Mac group now. So we're starting to get some younger blood in by, you know, reaching out to the iOS side of the Mac Apple world. And that's helped.
Well, we started a program to design our own app. Have on the phone a Mac user group app to try and get the guys to come in, help us design that, help us build it, give them an idea of how you go about setting up your own app for you know, your use. And that, as you say, has brought in a younger element, but we don't get enough of them coming over to the main group. So it's that.
Yeah.
It's how do you get that to work? Yeah. Yep. Very much so.
Mm-hmm. I might actually swing by when I'm in London in 2 weeks.
You'd be very welcome.
So
second Monday. Let us know when you come in, and we'll give you which pub we're going to be in.
I'll follow
you, and he's normally winding his way down the road to the pub.
I need to come because I haven't been for a while. It's just the way work's worked out. I haven't bothered to come down, but no, I will do. I will do come back.
We've got our Christmas do coming up, so you're very welcome for that.
I'm usually there at that. Yeah,
you're for that and the quiz. Don't forget
the quiz, God.
I'll give you guys the other thing that we've done, started to do that's helped out a little bit too, is we broaden the scope of the group. and made it more about technology. And that was part of dividing things. So we actually made a bigger umbrella group that we're just calling iTech SD or iTech San Diego. And then the Mac group and the iOS group is under that. There's also a like 101 group under that. And then what we've done to try and get more people to the main meetings that are from different groups is every quarter we're doing more of a TED Talk style general technology kind of presentation. So like we've done Internet of Things and that sort of stuff and gotten somebody, you know, really pretty well known from those sorts of communities to come in and talk more generally about technology. So the people that are in the iOS group that maybe aren't into Macs all that much will show up for those sorts of things. And again, we try and focus it more like a TED Talk style, which, you know, plays into that whole I'm on the internet and I know everything sort of element.
Well, the thing is, with all the stuff that we've got for BTN, we've got all the tech there to stream the event out. And we did it at the Christmas thing. We streamed the Christmas event out to everyone. But the problem is, nearly always, that the venues have got really crap internet. So there's no ability to and if we had a decent pipe there, we'd be there with cameras, we'd have... and you're then talking about having country members who can attend virtually, which...
Yeah, but then the problem is people don't show up.
If you We've been definitely it, working on going more virtual.
Go, I can watch it on the internet. So you reaffirm what the problem is.
If we've got the membership,
there's a different experience in meeting face-to-face. And you know this, and we know this, but... You know, the young folks don't get it.
Yeah, and Adam's right, because we've been trying to go more virtual because of just traffic and time. And the venues here, the rental on vendors in Hawaii is ridiculous. And so we've tried to go virtual, and the same thing happened. Like, everyone forgets the virtual ones. So it does work better in skin.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we're quite lucky because Monday nights in the pubs are quite quiet, so they're quite happy to bring us in with a group of 20 or so people. Yeah.
Well, Tiger doesn't charge, do they?
No, not at all.
So the venue's free. It's just all you got to do is drink your own beer, and they take the money off the beer. So.
Unfortunately, they just had a big refit, so someone's got to pay for it sometime.
They'll be fine. No, they won't do that. What's her name's good, isn't she? Hallison, is it? Lovely. Right, there is no more net news, so that's it. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They are absolutely stunning, and we've got a great link up with... I haven't done this. Where did the UK2 advert go? I've lost it. I must have deleted it by mistake. We've got a fantastic link up with them and with 100tb.com. They give us the bandwidth for the shows, and they're just awesome. They give us all the storage. We've got unlimited storage. There's Bagel Tech shows on there. It goes back that far. They've looked after us now for getting on for 6.5 years, and as far as I'm aware, they're going to carry on looking after us. We love them to bits. Thanks ever so much to UK2. Really good customer service, really good people there. If you want anything for the web, domains, VPS, VPN, website building services, dedicated servers. I made the video for the dedicated servers piece. Then go there. Go there and check them out because they're absolutely brilliant. Thank you for their support and for that from 100tb.com because they're awesome too. Right then, chaps. It's time for the cool thing. Please slip them into the chat room so that everyone can come back. And Patrice is already in there and ready to go. Come on, pal.
Yes. My pick is a podcast, so it's free. It doesn't cost you any money. It's the Slack Variety Pack. If you don't know Slack, then you should definitely check them out, slack.com. But their Variety Pack is actually a little bit different. It's not the usual podcast, a couple of people talking, one or two or five people. It's more a collection of I would say, topics or of random sound bites. I can't even explain it. Each episode has each pack has a topic. It's a pack, so it's a couple of chapters basically, and it's from entertaining to really information, stuff like that. For example, the current one that came out this week, they are talking about naps. The story itself is taking a break, the story of the pack, and they are talking about naps. They are talking about artisanal ice cubes. Going for a walk, stuff like that. So there's always a little bit of comedy, information, sounds, all of that. So it's a little bit artsy, I would say, but it's really good. I enjoy it every time. Really looking forward to each and every one.
Excellent. So
they're doing a great job.
Good pick. Thank you very much, sir. Next, it's Adam.
Yeah, I'm going to pick something that's pretty nerdy, but very, very useful if you can get into it. It's a little bit tricky to get into, but this app really makes it easy. So email, you guys probably know people who like keep and store every email that they've ever received going back to like, you know, 1995 or whenever they first got email,
yeah.
Right? And they never want to delete it and their mailbox is huge and it takes forever. And especially now with IMAP, you know, everything's pulling down from the server, being stored on the server. So you run out of space and then you can't send emails. And right. I have never run with more than a year's worth of email in any of my IMAP servers. And the reason I can do that is I use an app called MailStored, which is an email indexing, archiving app. And what you do is you install it, and then there's a setup. You tell it what mailboxes you want it to sort of watch, and you can exclude things like your junk email box or, you know, the trash email box, like that. And then it will scan, and you can put it on a schedule, and that's what I do. About every 5 hours, or 6 hours, I think, I have it go through and scan my mailboxes. And then any new mail that's come in, it archives over to either a MySQLite or a SQL database, and then indexes that stuff. And you can even have it set up if you want it to archive your attachments, things like that. And then what's great about that, especially if you're using the SQLite database version, which is just the standard version, is you can have then those archives also set up as your regular backup regimen. So mine get backed up to SuperDuper and to my crash plan. And so I never lose an email, but it also means that I can, with reckless abandon, go through my IMAP folders and just delete stuff because I know that it's archived and backed up in MailStored. And the other advantage of MailStored versus keeping it all up in the cloud on your IMAP server is your stuff is archived locally. It's not stored on some third-party server. It's not on Google servers. It's not on your ISP's servers. It's on your machine in your local database. And then again, it has great indexing tools. So you can search by date. You can search by ones with attachments. You can do, and if you're really, really nerdy, you can actually, because it is a SQL database, you can actually write your own SQL queries to search through the thing. And
I was
then if you're
say,
worried
you get
about,
more out of it because huh? you understand SQL, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't even have to understand that because even if you needed a bunch of mail back into your inbox, this is great too. You could search, you can find all the mails that you're looking for, and then you can export them as an mbox file that then you just double click and it opens right up in Apple Mail. So you can get stuff back into mail too if you really want it back. And so I have every email that I've ever had, but they're just not stored on my IMAP servers. They're stored locally in MailStored database. And it is a great app. If you do get it, I would recommend, I think they have one like MailStored Lite on the app store. I would really buy it directly from them because, again, because of the sandboxing things, you're going to get a lot more power and versatility out of buying it directly from them. So that would be a recommendation. And I use the standard version, which is just called MailStored. They do have a Lite version that they say archives up to 100,000 messages. But, you know, again, for the purpose that I'm talking about, that's probably not going to be big enough for most people. And they do have a pro version that lets you use a full, you know, proper MySQL database. I don't even use that, but if you need that sort of thing, it can manage millions of messages. The problem there is you have to set up MySQL yourself.
Okay.
So,
good.
MailStored, $49.95 US.
What's it like for searching back through stuff? Because I do go back a couple of years sometimes for emails.
It's great because, again, it's an indexed database. So if you've ever searched through a MySQL, I mean, that's how the internet runs, right? MySQL databases. So, you know, you're searching through an actual proper database, not just sort of index files.
Cool. Good one. Will's pick, of course, was the integration, the, what do you call it? The Alchemy integration for Logic. Don't forget that one. Martin, did you bring a cool thing?
I didn't really, but there is one I'd like to talk about. I'm sure it's been mentioned before. I'm sure you'll know. It's a piece of software called Type It For Me, which you type in a few letters.
That.
Brilliant, brilliant app. I've been using it for years now. They've just updated it for OS 10, 10, well, 10, 11. But it is if you do a lot of typing, you can put in something, even just a simple phrase, you know, for a brilliant place. You can put a whole paragraph in. You can put, I think I had something like 3 pages of text, which I could just put in with three simple letters.
No,
brilliant bit of software. I think it's by Toro software, I think, is it made by.
Right, any price?
I think it's $5.99.
Oh, that's not bad then. So proper priced.
$19.99.
$19
US. $19, so it's gone up a bit, yeah.
Oops.
It shows the last time I bought it, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Well, the upgrade price is $8.99, so maybe you're upgrading.
Cool. Doc, what have you got for us, mate?
So here's a new camera that's coming out in, I believe, December. And this is known as the Light camera. And you can be found at light.co. So basically what it is a camera body with 16 lenses built in it. And when you take a photo, like 10 of them are firing at the same time. The other lenses are there sort of like in an HDR type of setup, but not with the overly gross hipster like color wash tonality thing that some of the HDRs have a tendency to do. So you have a bunch of them dedicated to the depth of field, and with 16 cameras firing, you know, basically at once, 10 going all the way. You're getting different levels of adjustment and focus and depth and whatever's, and you get a crazy optical zoom. We're talking like 35 to 150. And because it also has so many eyeballs, similar to a spider or a fly, it can do really well in low light because you have varying degrees of prime lenses at varying degrees of settings all firing at the same time, and the camera composites the image in the back. If you click on the gallery tab, and you look at some of the images, like, it's pretty crazy. Like, this is rivaling, like, D1 kind of stuff because of the level of depth and whatever that it has. But nothing looks too obnoxiously cheesy. Anyway, the guy's going to run for about $1,500. If you buy it before launch in a month, you save, like, $200. I'm sorry, you save $400, so it's, like, $12.99. But it's an interesting concept. And some of the cool things it has is it auto tethers to your smartphone. So when you take the pictures, they just land on your computer, on your phone rather. So you can send them away. But interesting what's happening with photography right now and Sony's little mini sensors. Pretty crazy.
Price?
$16.99 after launch, $12.99 if you order prior to launch.
So cheap, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you bring stuff like that because it doesn't cost me anything.
Only more than an iPad Pro.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're in a different position. Same as me. Like, I don't know if I want to buy it because I need one, because I don't. I have pro cameras, but it's never going to rival my new Alpha. But at the same token, I can see if you're going to get people jumping onto this point and shoot movement, can we get some point and shoots that don't suck? And the phone images are extremely convenient, a little flat, right? So this might bring a combination of both. The guys that are smart enough using small mirrorlesses with, you know, micro four thirds or, you know, E-mount, like those guys are doing great. They're fine. But there's still regular kind of crappy point and shoot or the standard camera images. It's not really there. And people are starting to get into photography because they take so many pictures with their camera. So I think this is a cool little hybrid. And, you know, as long as there's better photos on the internet, then I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Oh, good one, mate. Good one. You're going to cost me money last night as well. Bloody one for what you call it? For the
See, you know what it is? This isn't for me, you, and Patrice. So we all pro cameras. This is for Adam.
Yeah. No, this is not at all in my price range. I would never spend this much on a camera.
I didn't say your price range, but this is for someone like you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I would never spend this much on it.
Into it for $1,600, but not into it for profession.
I'm happy with the images that come off my iPhone. They're fine.
I'm sorry to do the obvious, being that it's the first Mac show back, but my cool thing is my Mac Pro. Holy shit. I am sitting
That's the best review ever, brother.
I am sitting running stuff here. I'm recording and broadcasting at 1080p. Yes, you heard me right. We are broadcasting and recording at 1080p now because of this machine. And my CPU is 34%, which is unbelievable. I bought the 6-core I've got 64 gig of RAM in it now, and it's got the D700 graphics cards in it. And it was, it all told with the extra memory, it was 5K. But the one thing I want to say that is nice, and this is the Jobs thing in it, I suppose, that where he's dead right. When I changed the memory and pulled the top off and looked inside, I sat and looked inside for like 40 minutes, just marveling at the way it's put together and how neat it is, how everything integrates. It's a thing of beauty just to look at. It really is, on top of everything else that's with it. So
my thing on that, you know where the detail comes in on the Mac Pro to me, is if you've ever looked inside at any piece of computer equipment, there's green, right? You've got green somewhere.
Yeah.
This thing, the entire inside, every chip, every resistor, everything that's in there is either black or silver.
Right.
Yeah.
Those aren't the shelf. You can't get that stuff off the shelf like that.
Yeah. And they took their time to polish everything out and make it look like gorgeous. Like they knew you were going to look at the inside, so they spend time.
Yeah.
I still think the biggest trick to me is when you turn it around, the back lights up. Yeah, I love that.
It is. Yeah. As soon as you move it, the lights pop on. It's superb. So that's my cool thing. It's 5K all told. And Crucial, the extra memory from Crucial, 400 quid for 64 gig as opposed to 1200 quid or whatever it is for the stuff from Apple.
It needs a transparent shell, though. You need to see the inside.
Yeah, that'd be great.
If you had a transparent shell so you could see it, because you can't take it off and let it run. It doesn't work if you take the shell off.
No.
Because we tried it and it didn't work.
Right.
Okay. So we put the shell back on. But someone could do a clear plastic one. It would look the business.
Well, I like the shell as well because I carry it round by the shell, which is nice. The other thing was something...
Well, I think that doesn't the shell add to the cooling because it is aluminum, right? Metal?
Yeah.
I think there's some cooling factors for the shell. Yeah. If you just put a clear plastic one on there, you might have heat issues.
The other thing I wanted to say, just because I picked this for the big show last night, but because it's a Mac game, I wanted to just cover it today as well briefly. Listen to the big show if you want the full spec on it all. It's an origami game called Tengami, and it's set in ancient China, and you have to, or Japan, and you have to,
Japan,
yeah, and you have to get yourself around the world, and the world is made of origami. So you fold things over to move through the world, and then when you get to certain places, you can start to interact with the world. And there's little puzzles to solve where you have to light a set of beacons in a certain sequence. You have to chime some bells to put some wolves to sleep. There's a fantastic bit that I struggled on for ages, which is the rock cliffs bend down, and there's four different sets of rock cliffs, and you have to work out the sequence to move the guy around from one to the other to get to the next level. It's just the most beautifully drawn game that there is out there. It was $4.99, I think, in the UK store, but it is just unbelievable.
You know what's crazy about Tengami? Is it was a Wii game, and it completely kind of botched on the Wii because the Wii kind of botched, but the technology was very easily ported over to iOS, and so they've done it, and it's amazing. And Ten basically means the gods or, you know, the spirits, and Gami is paper, so it's basically god paper, and it's Japanese.
Japanese, thank you, mate.
Yes, my mate.
I knew I'd be an idiot.
I third that pick.
Yeah, no, I love
it. Yeah, it's
it.
Awesome,
mate.
I
absolutely adore it. It's, I've sat and played it yesterday, and it was just wonderful. Where can we get a hold of you then, Patrice?
As always, you can find me on Twitter at @casual_kitchen. You can find my random writing at thepatrice.com. And you can find me on Deconstruct and on the Tech Hangout, thetechhangout.com and deconstruct.tv.
Thanks, mate, for coming along. Do appreciate your time. Where are you, sir, Mr. Maccast Adam?
Well, Maccast.com. Also Maccast on Twitter and pretty much Maccast every place else. And you can catch me also every week on the iOS show at iOSshow.com.
Excellent. You can get Will Green at British Mac. I think the website's going through a bit of a revamp at the moment. And if you're trying to look for a podcast, yeah, best of luck. Martin, where are you, sir?
You can get hold of us at communications at lmug.org and our website, lmug.
And second Monday,
every month, we meet at the moment, the Sun Tavern in Covent Garden.
There you go. Superb. It's a great bunch of people, and it's well worth going, I do promise you. And Doc, where are you, sir?
You can get me at docrock@whiskeyfilledmug.com. and half whiskey filled mug, and then refilled whiskey mug, and then half. No, you can find me at Doc Rock on Twitter, almost anywhere, and Facebook, Insta Space, whatever you call these things, and on the British Tech Network a couple times a week, being harassed by a bunch of British chaps.
Didn't you find a whiskey bottle wedged down the sofa yesterday?
Yeah, it was in the closet, and I was doing some digging around. I was looking for some older tools, and literally like a 20-year-old bottle of Nika whiskey. It's going to be awesome when I crack it open.
We'll bring it over with you for Tuesday.
Okay.
All right, man.
Nice.
Cool.
Whiskey and curry is not good for Wednesday, though.
That's all right. That's fine. My name is Yuranky. Yeah, no, what?
I said it wouldn't be good for Wednesday.
Oh. Yesterday's the mic did.
So it wouldn't be good for Wednesday.
My name's Yuranky. You can get me at Yuranky on Twitter. We'll be back again next week as normal. We've got the big show on Thursday night, and we've got the Mac show on Friday. Yes, they're all back. See you next week. Thanks for listening.